Scripture reading is taken from Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 to 34. Verse 25. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, or what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow, or reap, or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? Who are you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and thrown in the fire tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. It's time. We'll pass the time to Pastor Harry.
It's good to be here again this morning and to share with you from the Word of God. Can you hear me okay at the back there? Okay, good. Just wanted to make sure that I'm not wasting my time here. I've titled this sermon. Enoch Wong, I think, gave me this title or something along this line, Transformed Through Trust. And it's really about the problem that you and I have of not trusting God. And when we don't trust God, we begin to worry. Ever been there? Good. All of you have. Okay? And so what I want to do today is take this passage and then show you how to overcome worry. And two ways. One, trusting in God's providence. That's God's provision. And two, pursuing God's kingdom. So we're trusting in God and we're not going to worry. We're going to pursue God's kingdom. Okay? Now, just let me work this out for you. But I have to begin with a story. It's a true story of a pastor who one Sunday morning, for whatever reason, couldn't make it to church. So he stayed home. And he decided to watch a church service on TV. And it was a church in Atlanta. And they were honoring their retired senior pastor. He had been their pastor for many, many years. He was 92 at the time. Yes, 92. By the way, I sat beside another man last Sunday, a pastor. He was 95, and he's as fit as I am. I'm serious. His mind is as clear as could be. He's only about 5 inches taller than I am. And he walks around all over the place. And he still teaches. Just a wonderful, godly man. He's been one of my mentors in my life. So that's why I mentioned that, because I spent about a half hour with him last Sunday, or I think it was last Sunday. A real, real good time. Anyways, back to this senior pastor. He's 92. Now, he had aged a lot more. And this pastor says, I wondered why they would ask this old man to come up and preach or to share. And he said, after they'd given him a real warm welcome, and after the applause had subsided, he rose from his high-backed chair and walked slowly, with great effort, and sliding gait to the podium. Without a note or a written paper of any kind, he placed both of his hands on the pulpit to steady himself, and then quietly and slowly began to speak. This is what he said. "When I was asked to come here today and talk to you, your pastor asked me to tell you what was the greatest lesson ever learned in my 50 years of preaching. I thought about it for a few days and boiled it down to just one thing that made the most difference in my life and sustained me through all my trials. That one thing that I could always rely on when tears and heartbreak and pain and fear and sorrow paralyzed me. The only thing that would comfort me was this verse. Jesus loves me. This I know. For the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. I am weak, but he is strong." And then it goes on, "Jesus loves me." And when I read this passage, folks, I walked away. And the one thought that went through my mind as I put this all together is, Jesus loves me. Jesus loves you. He cares so much for you. He doesn't want you to worry. He wants you instead to focus on pursuing his kingdom. So, go back. Let's look at the next slide, okay? And I want to read to you what this, I'm glad the cutters came out. I've highlighted this passage for you. And in some computers, it won't come through. But not when it does. So that's good. But I want you to look. And there's a couple of things I want you to observe here, okay? Number one. When I'm finished, tell me how many times you see the word worry, worrying, or something along that line, okay? By the way, I've highlighted them in yellow in case you miss them. Just wanted to help you a little bit, okay? Secondly, I want you to notice how God provides. Okay? So let's go to the passage and take a look at it. Therefore, Jesus is speaking to people who are consumed with money. And he says, don't pursue that. Have you noticed something about people who are wealthy? When they die, they leave it all behind. They just leave it all behind. It doesn't matter how poor they are or how rich they are. They leave it all behind. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life. You get that? You've been worrying about your life, haven't you? Don't do it. What you will eat or drink or what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Then he gives an illustration. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. You notice that? Who feeds them? Our heavenly Father. And then he says, are you not much more valuable than they? Of course you are. Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? Then in verse 28, and why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field, or the flowers of the field, grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon, in all his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today, and tomorrow is thrown to the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Amen? Amen. Okay. How many times did you see the word worry? Six times? Yeah, six times. So, what's the message here? Don't worry. You've got the whole thing. Okay, we can go home now. No, I want to tell you, I want to develop this a little bit further. So the two lessons that I come away, well, the main lesson I come away with is this. God loves you. God loves me. And because of that, he doesn't want you and me to worry. And secondly, he wants us to instead concentrate on pursuing the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So let's go back to worry. What is worry? I have concerns, right? We all have concerns. When does it become worry? So let's take a look at this, okay? Worry means undue anxiety. It's not a legitimate concern, okay? And what happens is that worry means to strangle or choke. That comes from the Greek word, actually, as the next section does too. It says there, a divided mind, okay? I don't know if you've ever been in this situation where you've been so worried where you're paralyzed. I have. I am so worried that I've become paralyzed. Like it just strangles you. It chokes you. And the only way I got out of it was by going to another man, a pastor, by the way, who listened to me and then smiled at me and helped me walk through it. But that's what worry does. It strangles us. It chokes us. It refers to a person with a divided mind. Someone else has said that worry is like a rocking chair. It's always in motion, but it never gets anything done. So if you're in that rocking chair, get out of it. Okay? Don't worry. Worry, Chuck Swindoll writes, is assuming responsibility for things that are out of our control. And then he goes on to say that's pretty much everything. He's right on. Don't worry. Trust God, okay? And I wonder sometimes how much energy and how much time we as people have wasted worrying about things that never came to pass. I have a sneaking suspicion that 95% of the stuff we worry about never comes to pass. I'll come back to that in a moment. And not only that, when you worry, it causes all sorts of side effects. It can cause tension or hypertension, okay? It can cause other problems such as insomnia, obesity, others. And I heard that this week, one of the guys says, you know, life is so stressful, I've turned to drugs. No, don't turn to drugs. He was smoking marijuana, okay? Trying other drugs. Turn to God. Yes, I realize sometimes people have to, because of their makeup, they have to take drugs as well. And I'm talking about prescription drugs. As far as I'm concerned, they're okay. But I think we need to, though, come back to the Word of God and trust in God. So today I want to think along scriptural lines and our scriptural guidelines as we rediscover a life characterized by real trust in God. A life that leads to peace. And I hope that when excuse me, when people see you and me, they'll see a person at peace. I recall years ago now, I was in the hospital having some problems with my stomach, and I was waiting for a bunch of tests and so on. And as I sat there, I just kind of just relaxed. And one guy says to me, he says, what's your problem? I says, well, there's something wrong with my stomach. I said, I'm having some problems here. He says, what do you do? I said, well, I'm a Christian and I'm a pastor. He says, no wonder you're at peace. That's what people should see in us, even in the midst of difficult situations, that we are at peace with God. And we are at peace with whatever's happening in our lives, okay? So let's go take a look at these. The first illustration, Jesus gives two illustrations to encourage you and me to trust in Him. Okay? The first one is this. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Okay? Just stop there. Close to our house, there's a park. It's called Panorama Park. No, Ponderosa Park. Pardon me, I've got it wrong. Ponderosa Park. And it's just a small park, okay? In the midst of Abbotsford, there's condos all the way around, but you really can't see them because you're just in the midst of a real dense forest. And in the center of the park is a large pond. I wouldn't call it a lake. I'd call it more of a pond. And it covers about 2 hectares. Do you understand what that is? No? Yeah? Okay. Anyways, it's a pretty big pond, okay? But again, like I said, it's not a lake. It's a pond. And I love going in there because it's so nice and quiet. And not only that, there's places where I can sit down. And I can look over this pond. And on this pond, on any given day, are around 60 mallard ducks and about 20 Canadian geese. Absolutely gorgeous. Peaceful environment. And as I studied this passage, I went into that park and I looked over the lake there and I saw these ducks and geese. It was early in the morning. I awakened them. I said, it's time to get up. And what was interesting is they all started taking a bath. All of them. They kind of put their water and they throw the water up and they flap their wings like this and I guess that's their bath or their shower or whatever, but it seems to get them clean. And one thing is this: a couple of things that I've noticed. They don't store away in barns. They don't worry. They were completely at peace. They were completely at peace. Oh, yes, when I came by, you know, some of them start squawking a little bit. Those that were on the shore, they squawked at me. And I kind of, you know, gave my a wide berth as I walked around them. But they're not worried about things. They're completely at peace. The other thing that I noticed is that they're all well fed. None of them were skinny. None of them were starving. Why? God provides for them. Okay? Now just track with me to the next part of the verse where Jesus says, are you not much more valuable than they? You are more valuable than the birds of the air. Way more valuable. How valuable are you? Well, you're made in God's image. The birds are not. In God's image, you have the ability to communicate with a loving God. Not only that, Christ died for you. That's another way God demonstrates his love to you. He died for you. And the third thing that came to mind right away was, we have resident within us the Holy Spirit, the living God. Does God care for us more than the birds? You bet He does. Yet He doesn't neglect the birds. Worry, if you go on to verse 27 now, it's there. Can any of you worry, or can any of you by worrying add a single hour to your life? Can you? No. Instead, you can actually subtract from your life by worrying. Some people worry. I looked at this one person this week, and they had worry written all over their face. Just completely filled with worry. God never intended for us to live that way. Worry never works. In fact, what worry does, it leads you away from God. It doesn't lead you to God. Worry leads you away from God. Then, let me tell you this illustration here. It's Winston Churchill. Now, he was the Prime Minister of England in the Second World War. And he was one of the reasons why the British were victorious and the coalition forces were victorious against Germany. It was because he would give almost daily speeches. And he said, "We will win. We will win at all costs." And if you listen to his speeches, it's amazing what the guy said. He was as stubborn, maybe I shouldn't use the word stubborn, but determined as can be that they would not lose, they would win. And he convinced the people that they would win as well. Anyways, he says, "When I look back at all these worries, I remember the story of the old man who said on his deathbed that he had a lot of trouble in his life, most of which never happened. And most of which we worry about never happens in our life. Never. Never." Now, Jesus gives a second illustration. You know, if you don't get it the first time around, let's try it again a second time. So this time he says, "And why do you worry about your clothes? And see how the lilies or the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown to the fire, will He not much more clothe you, you of little faith?" Faith and anxiety don't go together. They just don't go together. If you have anxiety, it's going to push faith out of your life. And God calls us to a life of faith. In fact, worry is sub-Christian. Listen to this next verse here. I lost it, I'm sorry. Jesus says in verse 31, "So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?'" Now, here's the sub-Christian part. "For the pagans run after all these things. And your heavenly Father knows you need them." The implication is, God's going to take care of it. We don't have to worry. We don't have to worry. Listen carefully to some of these things I'm going to say to you. Worry is a burden that God never intended for us to bear. Worry is a burden that God never intended us to worry or to bear. Worry is a total waste of time. It doesn't change anything. All it does is steal your joy and paralyze you. So Jesus says, don't worry. Trust. Secondly, the second thing he says here is refocus. Replace your worry by pursuing God. He says here, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Instead of focusing on worry, which creates a vacuum, focus instead on pursuing God's kingdom. Seek first the kingdom of God. Listen to this again. Seek implies strong-minded pursuit. J.B. Phillips paraphrases the idea with, set your heart on. The kingdom of God is simply the reign of God in our lives and in our world. The Amplified Bible puts it this way, aim at or strive at. Okay? So we're supposed to leave worry behind, and we're supposed to strive for the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God, real simply put, is God's rule in our hearts. So I wake up in the morning, I say, Lord, this day is yours. I want to seek your kingdom. It means opening up God's word. And guess what? Every time I open God's word, God speaks to me. Because the Bible is God speaking. The Bible is God speaking. Listen again. Psalm 84, verse 11. No good thing does he, that is God, withhold from those whose walk is blameless. Move on to Romans 8, 28. We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. God's not going to withhold those things. And when we follow that, we're going to have an increased intimacy with God, a greater spiritual insight, a far deeper faith with which to encourage and affirm others. Worry misses the point of life. It's illogical, a waste of time, incompatible with faith. It's sub-Christian and a complete waste of time. And if you've missed the point, Jesus ends this passage by saying, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So I have a suggestion here, okay? And I love this suggestion. I'm going to suggest that instead of worrying, oh, by the way, look at the next slide. This is written by Rick Warren. He writes there, when you think about a problem over and over again in your mind, that's called worry. When you think about God's word over and over again in your mind, that's called meditation. If you know how to worry, then you know how to meditate. How many of you know how to worry? Now you know how to meditate. So, I have a suggestion for you for this week, okay? For those of you who are consumed with worry, I'm going to suggest that you go off to a park, to a lake, or to a mountain. And by the way, copy this passage down. Take your worries with you, and then begin to meditate on God's word. Okay? And I want you to meditate on these 10 verses. That's all. That's what I did. I sat there and I read, and it brought tears to my eyes. Jesus loves me. This I know. A couple Sundays ago, I was at a church on a Sunday evening. It was a hymn sing. And I thought, I want to go just to hear the old hymns. So I went there. And we sang many of the old hymns, and they had different groups singing as well. And then the pastor, Ron Berg, who's the pastor of the Clearbrook Mennonite Brethren Church, stood up, and he shared a little bit about life, not about this passage, but about something else. But there's one illustration that really stuck out to me. You see, Ron is a father, and he's a grandfather. And he was telling us how one of his sons had always dreamed of being a rancher. So he went out to Saskatchewan. And he started as a farmhand working on a ranch. And really, really enjoyed it. But he was looking for something more, a promotion. And so he saw another opportunity where he could go in and run this ranch, get paid a lot more money, and then he wanted to buy another tract of land close by and start his own ranch. And so he gave notice at the place where he was working. He accepted the new position, signed the contract. And then 2 weeks before, the new owner canceled the contract. Now he was left with no job and no place to live. Now, is that concerning? That is. As he sat down and talked it over with his children, that's Ron's son, as he sat down and talked it over with his wife and his children, his young son said to him, "Dad, I guess we're going to just have to trust God, aren't we?" And that's what they did. Listen, look at the next statement that I've written here, okay? I don't see it here, so I'll read it from what I have. I think what it says there is a little bit different than what I'm going to say. But this, it's like this. As I read this, I came up with this thought. God loves you and me so much that he says, "My child, why worry? I've got this. Love God." Let's pray. Father, I want to pray that each one of us will seek your kingdom and your will and your righteousness above all else. Help us not to be consumed or even slightly fazed by the worries of this life, whether it's food, drink, clothing, shelter, health, or anything else that distracts us from you. And Father, thank you that you are the sustainer, the sovereign sustainer. I would pray, Lord, that as we face an uncertain future, that we would not be consumed by knowing where we will be in 6 months. It honestly doesn't matter, Father, because we'll still be found in your favor, overwhelmed by your love, drenched by your blessing, and obsessed by your romance. Let tomorrow come when it's ready. Help us to enjoy today. I pray this in your name, for our benefit and your blessing. Amen.